Chapter 33, Observing the Family System. If you haven't traveled to a third world country and live there for a while with locals, consider finding a way to make it happen. My most memorable exotic family experiences have been in China, Pakistan, and Azad Jammu, Kashmir. Live for a while with a local small-town family, and for starters, for the sheer culture shock value of it, I recommend a decidedly different culture, such as in the Near or Far East. With your new friends, sleep in their house, hang out with them during the day, share meals, talk to them about their lives, and listen to their aspirations and fears and their rants and raves. And all the while, if you're like me, be thankful that some of them speak English. I wrote this chapter in late October 2005, just after the devastating Pakistani and Kashmiri earthquake. I was in Pakistan and Azad Kashmir on my own doing relief work and freelance reporting. It was a down and dirty time, horrible for the tens of thousands of families who were homeless. In the truest sense of the word, living in squalid tent camps that were spread throughout the region. The physical conditions for these refugees was unspeakable. Their mental torment was compounded by the high death toll, which included a disproportionate number of children who were caught in non-reinforced stone and concrete school buildings that collapsed. 12 time zones removed from my home in Oregon, in remote northern Pakistan, where the family is the heart of the culture, there is a fascinating contrast to our Western norms. In Pakistan, the social system is inflexible. All marriages are arranged, with a majority first cousin to first cousin. The religion is exclusively Islam. The structure, starkly patriarchal. The average family includes 5 children. The backcountry Pakistani family is inviolate. Its mandates are inarguable, and the rigid rules are the hub of all. There is no violation of the tenets of the clan. The extended family is huge, yet, because of marriage protocol and cultural expectation, tightly knit. Everyone works hard, everyone prays. There is no unraveling of the threads that stitch things together. In the remote region I'm visiting, there is little interest in geopolitics or the social concerns with which we Westerners belabor ourselves. Is this good or bad? That's not the point of this chapter, so we'll let that part go. Magda Khan and his family live in the foothills of the Karakoram Mountains of the Gilgit-Baltistan district, formerly known as the northern areas of Pakistan. Their tiny village is at a high elevation and is only accessible by foot. It's an agricultural life, and the entire family, including children, toil from spring through fall to put aside stores for the long, hard winters that, in Khan's family's case, include up to 8 meters of snow. This means the family, for literally months at a time, does not venture out of the house even to visit nearby neighbors. The snow is too deep. I ask Khan, "What do all of you do with yourselves over those long, dark months in your house?" "We talk and pray," he says. "Do you get bored?" "No," he says, "we have lots to talk and pray about." My claustrophobic Western brain recoils. But then I remember that uncomplicated systems work best. And I understand that the backcountry Pakistani family equation is simple. And to Khan's clan, there is no doubt of the worth of it as the days, years, and generations pass. As I sit with my interpreter, I can't help but notice how much these people love their lives and each other. It's late fall, and I'm speaking to Khan and his grown daughter, Tahira, in their tent in a refugee camp in Muzaffarabad, Azad Kashmir. They have retreated here in the wake of the horribly violent earthquake of 3 weeks ago that leveled every house in their tiny village, 40 kilometers north of here. Now, winter is coming. Tahira says life in the tent camp is frustrating, and their single goal is to get back to their land and rebuild, to resume their quiet lives in a place that, she says, is perfect. Here is an excerpt from a newspaper article I wrote about Khan and Tahira's family just after the quake forced them into this tent camp. These people understand what is important in life. It is a hard-won embracing of what is, and a gut-level understanding that each additional breath they and their loved ones take is something for which to be enormously grateful. It's a difficult concept to grasp for a Western visitor too often caught up in soft lifestyle frivolousness. For these simple people of the remote mountain villages, family, religion, and consistency are the necessary things, the stuff of contentment and what matters most. I have a personal life longing to spend a fall and winter season with a family such as Khan's, to drop my Western preoccupation with so much that doesn't matter. For these people, life is held together and makes sense because of systematic family bonds and expectations. Generations come and go, and it all works. I watch the family and feel the unadulterated connection and can understand the mutual serenity of the dozen families that existed together in their tiny high-elevation enclave. That serenity is shattered now, as those families have been scattered to the various tent camps of the region. These people are not happy as they get ready for the long, wet winter, eight of them living together in this dank 100-square-foot tent. But they'll stick together for the duration. No family member will abandon the rest, no matter what happens. Where am I going with this? To compare the Western family to the Pakistani family? No, I go here. A family is a system, and it's useful to take a hard mechanical look at it as the separate entity it is, and how that entity functions within its society. Without judgment, consider the rules, the expectations. What can be questioned and what can't? Who does what and why? Wherever you travel, get to know the family system of that place, thinking about the internal forces that propel it in a single direction, or in some cases, what ambiguous forces, most often in the West, tear it apart. And so, for a Westerner, a family immersion such as this offers the opportunity to witness sharp contrast, as well as the deeply familiar, in a system that we so often take in for granted. It's the ultimate outside and slightly elevated experience, and it carries the possibility of an epiphany in which a frenzied Westerner can finally understand that life is, when you get away from the superfluous, simple and precious.